Let's dig deep into these concepts without further ado. We have with us Praveen Ladia, Head Sales at Incred Asset Management Company, a financial professional with 17 years of global experience in financial services. All-round business experience across key fields of asset management, including product development, investment management, branding, communication, strategies, business development, sales, and distribution. We also have with us Mr. Rishi Kohli, Chief Investing Officer, Hedge Fund Strategies, Incred Alternative Investments. Rishi brings over 21 years of experience in the fields of Indian financial markets, heading both sell-side and buy-side business in the public equity space. He has run various hedge fund strategies across India and Asia with a focus on quantitative and systematic strategies. He holds an MBA from IIM Lucknow and bachelor's in mechanical engineering from IIT Kanpur. Let me take a minute to also introduce the company, Incred Alternate Investments. Incred Alternate Investments focused on providing in different products offering to offer a complete 360 degree in investment solutions. The asset management and alternative businesses help in catering to a range of investment solutions in the fields of equity, quantitative strategies, asset allocation, structured credit, and more. Now, I'll be handing over the mic to Mr. Vikas Agarwal, who will in turn be handing over the mic to Mr. Rishi Kohli and Mr. Praveen Ladia. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Pragya. Hello, everyone. Firstly, I welcome all of you. I hope you enjoyed the session yesterday and got a lot of insights. So this is our second day. And just want to share that, you know, when I was building up this platform, one clarity that I had in my mind is that we wanted to educate and empower the entire investor community as a whole. And, you know, this is the way that we do it. Like, we believe in educating all of you. We believe in sharing knowledge. We invite all the experts. And so we'll start the session today. We've invited two gentlemen from Incred Asset Management Company. With me, I have Mr. Praveen Ladia and Mr. Rishi Kohli. Today, we're going to talk about how long-short strategy works. Now, if you look at long-short strategy, it is one of the biggest category across the globe, especially in the developed economies. And it has sort of exploded in a way that, you know, the kind of AUM we saw, and or I mean, if you talk about the developed economies, in India, it is picking up. The same trend is picking up. This was first started by few players in 2016-17 time. That is the time regulator was kind of comfortable giving sort of approval to these portfolio managers. And then we saw some more asset management companies are working in these ideas. Well, Incred is one of them. They thought of building up this idea and then decide to implement and execute. So we'll talk about that in detail with Praveen and Rishi. So before we kickstart the session, quickly, I have the opportunity to thank our media partner, ET Wealth. ET is basically, ET Market, sorry. ET has helped us to reach out to all of you. Without their kind support, we would have not been able to sort of organize these valuable sessions with these experts. So many thanks to them. I also want to, you know, thank all the partners who have decided to support us. So our title partner is Motilal Oswal, our platinum partner is White Oak and Access Alternatives. We have got gold partners, you know, ICICI Prudential, AMC, Nation Capital, Incred Asset Management Company. They are there, their speakers are there now with us. IIFL Asset Management Company, we also got support from Silver Partners, Alpha Accurate, Sundaram Asset Management, Kotak Mutual Funds, and Aditya Birla Alternates. Now, without any further ado, I would reach out to Praveen quickly, and then I would request Praveen to hand over the mic to Rishi. So, Praveen, one question from my end very quickly, because you head the sales. So, what was the idea? Like, can you talk about the idea generation of long-short strategy? Because you are more on the long-only portfolio side, both on the AIF and PMS. So can you throw some more lights before we reach out to Rishi?
Thank you, Vikas and the team for a good session yesterday as well. And we wish all the best that all investors get enough value add through that. Particularly, see the quantitative strategies, what we talk about, either the long short or quant-based models are primarily, you know, driven by a detailed derivatives markets in India. So, you know, Indian derivative market started around 20 years back, but evolved post 2007. And in last few years, we have got enough depth and breadth in the market to be able to execute a lot of global quantitative strategies. So when you look at developed markets outside India, where it's US or Europe, quant-based or hedge funds, as we call it, or long short, is a very large category of investments people do, which will give you returns, absolute returns in good, bad, and across market cycles. The idea is to have consistency of those models, which give you returns in good markets or in upside markets or downside markets. Coming here, the idea was very clear that there is a huge opportunity given the way Indian equity markets have evolved over the last 10 years. And there have been funds in the market who have been trying to do things, but everyone has focused on different styles. So we thought this is an opportunity where you want to enter and give clients an absolute return product where you can have categories of low risk and high risk, but at the end, capitalizing on both up markets and down markets. And that's how being nice to have Rishi with us, because he's one of the pioneers of such strategies in India. He launched the first derivative-based strategy, first hedge fund of India way back in 2007 and 8. So to get an expert, how Incred thinks is first you get the experience and the people on board and then think of going to investors asking for money. And that's how we got Rishi on board, literally a 22-year experienced guy, but managing such strategies almost 17, 18 years now. One of the pioneers, many awards to his credit, but so that's the idea that there is something in an AIF. So a long-only product, as we talked, can be on any platform. But when you're looking for alternates, the idea is to structure different category of alternative investing in a true sense. And an absolute return, all weather product is something which we can structure from a quant-based equity space, whether it's long-only or derivatives, both can be used. So that was the broad idea that let's get to investors a pure play alternative investment platform.
Sure.
With so that, I think Rishi is the best guy to answer more things on those.
Sure. So Rishi, over to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Vikas. Thanks, Praveen. So I'll just quickly touch upon a few key slides and explain what long short and quant in India really means. Very quickly, I mean, both of you have given some slight background, but this is my overall background. As Praveen said, I've been in the markets for 22 years since 2001. Was among the first people in the institutional derivatives broking side to begin with, where I, was among the first people to start option strategy research and managed futures kind of research, which was happening only in global hedge funds in those days, and had some large transactions and large clients globally in that space coming in 2004 to 6 period. Then I moved to the buy side in 2007, and from early 2008 started running the first quant fund in India based on long short strategies. I also ran an Asia fund from 2011 for a few years, which was one of the first systematic quant managed futures funds in Asia as well. Won some awards for that Asian fund, and it performed. The Indian version of that also performed, very well in 2020. Not only over the year, but even in the COVID month of March 20, and overall very strong alpha over a 10-11 year period from 2011 to 20. So those are the highlights. And then, of course, some of it, is also mentioned here. Even some fundamental quant fund, a small fund I was running for a few years on an FPI fund side. That was also won an HFM Hedge Fund Asia Award in 2019 for being the best India fund as well, which is, missing in this list. So that is the quick background just to give you a sense of, how long I've been doing this. And of course, over India and Asia, brought these new kind of strategies to the market. What is very interesting is that even today, the quant approach is very, very minuscule part of the market, both in India and even Asia, surprisingly. So, when I had run the Asia fund in 2011 to 14, we were the first. But even now in that category, there are very few funds and even fewer which have really, done well and scaled in size. So it's still a sort of a ripe and nascent stage for quant strategies, not only in India, but also Asia, which is very exciting, for me and my team. and even InCred, because we have strong plans not only for India but also Asia maybe in the future. Now coming to the specifics of long short and quant, so because you know I and my team marry both the approaches, so quant is obviously an approach, right? Just like you have discretionary fund management, you have a quantitative approach to fund management. It just means that you are sticking fully to a process, you have clear rules, and you stick to those rules when you are putting in your trades or investments or whatever it is. So basically, a quant approach, you know, brings discipline into the process. The results are more repeatable because, you know, it's not dependent on me as a fund manager or a CIO being in a good mood or a bad mood or not being well today and therefore taking a wrong decision. Those kind of things are eliminated with a quant approach. So from that angle, it's very good. It gives you a good sense of how performance can vary across different market conditions. So obviously, as we all know, you know, history does not necessarily repeat, but it definitely rhymes. So getting a sense of how certain strategies would do well in different past good and bad market cycles gives you a good sense of, you know, how it would do in similar market conditions going forward. Obviously, it will not be exactly the same. You know, if a strategy is showing that it made 2% or 3% in a month like March 20, it's not necessarily that every next time a 20% down month comes, you know, it'll do that 2-3%, but it means that it will largely be quite stable and has a high probability of being positive. So at least that sense you get, which is very important and, you know, can prepare you from a, both a return and risk expectation perspective going forward. Then the other important thing is efficient risk management. When you're following a quant approach, you know, you can have diversification across many strategies, many types of strategies, you know, futures, options, market neutral, volatility, special situations, things like that, some examples. And you can be diversified across many time horizons also. So you can have, you know, models or trades with a 1 to 2 day holding period, something with a 1 week, 2 week holding period, something with a month, 1 month holding period as well. So that time diversification also helps in efficient risk management. And then, of course, because you are quant means you are number driven, so you can have tight stop losses and you can also have your risk reports, your VAR, CVAR kind of calculations coming back and plugging into the portfolio approach, because you can cut positions if your risk numbers look higher than what your comfort zone or constraints you have kept for yourself. And then, of course, why does quant work over a long period of time? Because it avoids a psychological biases, right? So all of us as humans are prone to some key cognitive biases, which have been proven for many, many decades and globally that, you know, they are a hindrance to efficient trading and investing, and a quant approach helps overcome these. And then on the long short side, so anything, we all know about long only equities, but anything where, you know, you're shorting also becomes a long short approach. I'll come in a minute to the various types of long short also. So originally in India, for example, long short started many, many years back, where, you know, some people started at least hedging the long positions with some Nifty futures or Nifty options. So that was a phase where it was largely long only funds which were using this. So it was still a long biased approach, right? And it was just meant to be hedging or dampening the volatility when markets fall. But now over the last, you know, 5-7 years, it's at least evolved that there are different types of long short strategies. There still continue to be those kind of long biased strategies which use the shorting only for hedging purposes. But there are also more active long short which are trying to give you equity-like return with lower risk than just being in the index or lower volatility. And then there are others, you know, like what I am focused on right now, which are more absolute return in nature and are trying to give you debt plus returns with very low risk and have very consistent returns. So the advantage of long short is it can be active dynamic, there can be daily signal generation, you can have different long short exposures, as I was saying earlier. You know, you can have 100% long, 100% short, which becomes completely market neutral. You can have, you know, 100% long, 90% short, so you're minorly net long, or vice versa. So you can, so that low net exposures, you know, can obviously lead to natural hedging, which is what the low risk funds try to do. And you can be somewhere in between. So you can have on an average 50%, say 60% net exposures and still try to, you know, get the returns of the markets And because you are lower exposures, obviously your risk will be much lower. So that flexibility is there on for long short funds, that you can short, you can use futures and options, you can use different strategies across stocks and indices and diversify across them as well. And then if you have low net exposures and stop losses, then obviously your drawdowns, which means losses in the fund, can be very low. So those are the advantages of long, short and quant. But again, as I said, the markets have evolved, that various types of strategies are there. But still in India, you have a very handful number of players, you know, in this space, and even fewer which have scaled up, which is more to do with history and track record, of course. So very exciting times that the initial, you know, uptake has happened over the last few years. So I think we are at an inflection point where over the next 5 years, you will see, you know, maybe 10, 20x AUM growth and overall participation from many more players also in this kind of a long short category. Obviously, overall, it will be a mix of discretionary and quant approaches. Not everyone in the long short space is quant, but that also means that there is a big potential for quant overall, because globally, you know, quant strategies, whether it be in mutual funds, which are passive strategies, or in hedge funds, you know, quant has basically over the last 10 years taken the world by storm. And I expect nothing different in India over the next 10 years. So very consistently globally in the top 10 hedge funds every year, you have typically five or six quant funds in the top 10 every year, which is a very big thing in a global landscape. Now, overall quant strategies can be broadly classified into these three categories: long funds, arbitrage funds, and long short funds. So very quickly, I wanted to show you this. Obviously, we'll focus, you know, for the next 10 minutes on the long short fund category, which you all want to know more about, which, you know, in my experience, it can be categorized into managed futures, equity long short, and more absolute return, especially from an Indian standpoint. So obviously, I can have many more categorizations if I look at global strategies. But since we are all in India, focused on India, these are the three kind of strategies that I think can be categorized under long short very well. First, about equity long short, it's an active strategy that plays on relative performance. So I can go long a group of stocks or sectors, go short a different group of stocks or sectors, and, you know, basically it becomes equity long short. And I can have various different, I can, you know, rank those stocks to go long and short using a mix of fundamental, technical, statistical inputs. So either one of those or all of those, you know, whatever different, again, different people have different mix that they do. In India, of course, SEBI has a restriction that you can't go above 200% gross exposures. Globally, people do go 400, 500% also, because they get low returns, but they leverage it up to get the returns. Here, SEBI anyway has a restriction. And I think, as per my experience, there are enough opportunities that you actually don't need higher exposures, and you can still, you know, target whatever risk-reward ratio that you want. And obviously, as I was saying earlier, that, you know, typically long short equity long short funds will target lower volatility and drawdowns losses than equity, while delivering similar or higher returns, which means that your risk-reward ratios are very high. So the advantages are attractive risk-adjusted returns, low correlations to other strategies. So obviously, there is a fit in the portfolio. You have some equity, you have some debt, and then you have some, you know, of these long short strategies, you become, have a much more efficient portfolio, which can perform much better overall, on an overall basis, across all market conditions. The disadvantages, like I said, you know, mostly a lot of these funds have had long biased exposures, but I'll later in a minute also tell you about the absolute return category, which obviously doesn't have that, and therefore is another interesting sort of subcategory when you're considering equity debt allocations. Then a couple of quick examples why you know there's an opportunity for long short funds to do well. So I won't spend much time on this, it's a bit statistical, but this is basically showing you that the 50 stocks in the Nifty index, you know, if I take their correlation to the index and take the average of all of that over 30 days, then how does it vary? So as you can see, it consistently goes from low correlations to high correlations, which means that when correlations are very high, then everything is moving together in the same direction, which means that, you know, by doing long short, generating alpha may be difficult. On the other hand, when correlations are low, which means some stocks are going up, some are going down, some are staying flat, then those are the times when your opportunity for alpha creation by long short strategies can be very high. So this is one way to gauge whether opportunity is there or market conditions are conducive to long short or not. But as it shows, it consistently goes from low to high, which means that an active strategy can, you know, work very well on the long short side. This is another way to look at it. So if you see every year over the last 10, 11 years, you know, there is a huge intersectoral returns dispersion. So every year, the worst and the best sector, you know, there is a huge dispersion in returns. So obviously, what it means is if you are selecting the right sectors, you know, you have huge opportunity for alpha creation. And on the other side, if you are maybe going long a couple of sectors which are outperforming, going short a couple of sectors which are underperforming, then again, by being long short, despite having lower exposures, you can generate stronger returns and strong alpha. This is another way of looking at it, that an intersectoral returns dispersion. So even within each sector, the best stock, the worst stock, the average stock, there's a huge difference in returns every year. So again, even within sectors, by on an average choosing the better stocks to go long and choosing the worst stocks to go short, again, I can generate a lot of returns and a lot of alpha despite having lower net exposures. So these are various ways in which opportunity of long short can be you know, gauged and analyzed and then traded accordingly. Some of it is something that we do with a quantitative approach and are able to capture some of those opportunities well when we are looking at it from a fund perspective. And then, as I said, in India, absolute return funds is sort of another category within long short that has got created. The goal here is to be consistent in returns, and whether markets are up, down, or sideways, you know, to be very consistent with very low risk. And how can you do that? Obviously, overall, your net exposures are very small. Overall, when markets are trending up, you know, you have very small net exposures, but on an average, they are long. So that helps you also capture some of the small beta upside. Similarly, on the down market, you will have some small net exposures that are short, so they can capture those strategies. And then there are other strategies, you know, which work well in either sideways or down markets. There are some tail risk strategies which are designed via options to do very well when markets fall. So those can do very well when markets fall. In sideways markets, like the couple of examples I was sharing earlier, where stock sector dispersion of returns can be very high. So some of those kind of models, which in a market neutral manner capture those opportunities, can do very well in sideways market. Those are some quick examples of how, you know, absolute return funds can function and can deliver consistent returns while keeping very low risk, because your exposures are very low and you have high diversification across strategies and across time horizons, which I was mentioning earlier, right? Then the third category, which I was showing earlier in the table, is what globally is called managed futures. I have done these things for a long period of time as well. And even my Asia fund was in the past focused on managed futures. Even my India fund, which was in the top 10 funds in its category globally in 2020, was basically focused on managed futures. Here, you are basically going more directional and you're taking advantage of momentum or trends. It could be short term, medium term, long term. That all depends on the portfolio manager and the strategy. I like being a little more short term focused on these kind of models for Indian markets. In India, of course, you can mainly trade Nifty and Bank Nifty futures and maybe the top 20, 30 single stock futures. We do have some models where we would go up to the top 90, 100 more liquid single stock futures, but then the position sizing would obviously be small when you're going beyond the top 20, 30 stocks. Otherwise, liquidity, you know, tapers off. So you have to keep all that in mind when designing managed futures strategies. But globally, what is interesting is that you can obviously do this across all different many asset classes. So you can do this in commodities, currencies, fixed income. In India, it is still not so diversified, although there are a couple of commodities and currencies where liquidity is high. So there is a potential to, you know, have a multi-asset class managed futures product in India as well, although the number of instruments and asset classes will be much more limited compared to what can happen globally. What is interesting is there are very large funds in this space globally, which most of you would not have even heard about. And some examples are Winton Capital, Man AHL. You know, these are $10, $20, $30 billion funds just focused on this space. So it just shows how large and liquid, you know, these kind of strategies can be, and therefore very, very important for India over the next 10, 20 years, according to me. And the advantages are that these can make a lot of money when markets fall. So I mentioned earlier that, you know, some of my funds did very well in March 20, and even before that in 2011, when markets had fallen in August, September 2011 sharply across the world, then these kind of strategies did very well. So the advantage is that these are among the few strategies that do very strongly when markets have big falls. So what is called crisis period or crisis alpha is very strong for these funds. And that is the reason why large pension funds over the last 10, 12 years have got very meaningfully into this space. The disadvantage is that you can get whipsawed. Obviously, you're going sometimes long, sometimes short based on models. So when markets are going sideways and whipsawing a lot, then you know you can have losses in this when the rest of your portfolio is looking very stable. So the non-correlation, which is an advantage, can actually become a disadvantage when you know one doesn't understand the benefits of this in the long run properly. AUM for some of these strategies, I mean, I didn't have all the updated data for the other categories, but obviously globally have really boomed over the last 10 years and then got stable at very high levels, not only in managed futures, but equity long short also. Absolute return, as I said, is more of an Indian phenomenon. So there are only a handful of funds and the AUMs are still very limited. This is one interesting thing, which this graph comes from a CME paper and many other global large banks have written about it. So we know about the equity debt or stock bond portfolio, which is obviously the way to allocate across client portfolios in a global manner. What has been shown in a lot of global research is that if you add 20%, so here it talks of managed futures, but you know, think of it as any of the long short strategies. So if you add 20% of equity long short or managed futures long short or absolute return strategies to a portfolio, then you are much more efficient on the overall efficient frontier, which means that from a risk return perspective, you're basically at the most optimal point. So that is the big advantage of, you know, adding long short strategies to any portfolio. Having 10, 20, 30% allocation to that will really improve your overall risk return profile of your overall portfolio that you have. And the advantage is that in falling markets, you know, you can also do well using some of these strategies, as I mentioned earlier. And some of these, especially managed futures and absolute return, have actually done very well in all the crashes, whether it's 2008, 2011, 2020. So that is the advantage there. So that's it from my side, really, for today. Very happy to answer whatever questions you all have.
Thank you, Rishi. It was a detailed presentation. We got to learn a lot about long short, how does it work and how does it function. So my first question, Rishi, is that, what is the kind of returns which are expected? I'm not saying that, you know, it has to be, of course, returns are the function of the markets. But what do you think, what kind of returns it can generate?
See, absolute return, which is what is sort of developed more on the long short side, as I mentioned. So there, there is opportunity to make 14, 15, 16% kind of returns with very low 1 to 2% kind of risk. So obviously, from a risk reward perspective, it's very, very interesting. As we all know, the taxation is still not the most efficient in India for these strategies. But now with the long-term debt taxation benefits going away, with the MLD taxation benefits going away, I think more or less everything is at par. So from that being a negative, it's actually at par. It's still not the best. Obviously, you know, it can still come down. But overall, that is not a negative anymore. So if you target 15, 16% returns with, you know, very low risk, then obviously that becomes very attractive and is somewhere between equity, debt, you know, more like balanced, but actually much better risk return profile than balanced also.
So can I say that maybe debt plus and minus equities, would that be a right
so,
way to
so actually debt? Yeah, actually debt plus both from risk return, because if risk is as low as 1.5%, then it is actually debt plus, because debt plus also has some small fluctuations here and there. And the returns are much better. So you are basically targeting the debt plus segment, but with much better returns.
Yeah. So you talked about over leveraging the positions. So, I mean, you have the regulator, which gives you that sort of flexibility to over leverage. So do you all do it, or how's it, how does it work? Or you only run the plain absolute strategy?
Yeah. No. So as I was saying, so globally, people go 4x, 5x of exposures. In India, you cannot. SEBI restricts it at 2x. 2x meaning that, you know, when I'm running low net exposure strategies, then I may be 90% long and 80% short. So while my overall gross exposures is 170%, my net exposure is only 10%. So basically the room for 200% gross exposure is being taken more for hedging and for going short stocks to create the alpha, not really to leverage up. It is more to reduce risk, basically.
Okay. And you don't have don't create the long only position at all.
Yes. So again, like I said, you know, there are certain models which will say rank the BSE 100 stocks based on say a combination of momentum and volatility, and say that you the best ranks, the top 10 stocks I want to go long, the bottom 10 stocks I want to go short. So that's just a simple example I'm giving just for discussion purposes. So there, those kind of models will be monthly rebalancing. So for a month, those 10 stocks that have gone long will remain long, and the 10 stocks have gone short will remain short, with some stop losses, of course. And then every month, you know, the stock portfolio, both on the long and short side, will change. Now, typically that change is 50-60%. So there will be 40-50% of the stocks that may continue. So you may see a group of stocks which continue to be long for 3-4 months. But obviously, it is not a long-only approach. It is a complete long-short quantitative approach. It is just an outcome of the approach that some of the things continue for a few months.
Right. So what I was keen to know is that, you know, if you look at this is the question which comes from our investors also. You have arbitrage fund on the mutual fund side, which is doing very well. And if you look at the size also, it is perhaps one of the largest categories in India. Whereas long short, particularly the absolute category, delivers higher returns but not picked up big time. So what could have been the reason this year?
Correct. So there are a couple of important points. So one is, anyway, the number of players were very low. And initial years, you know, the performance has been very scattered. So there are a couple which have done well. There are many which have not done well. So there's been very mixed experience, according to me, for investors. So therefore, the confidence is not fully picked up. Even for the ones which did well for a few years, the last 2 years has been very difficult. So again, recency bias is always there in all of us, right? When we're looking at funds and analyzing returns. So that has been a problem. But again, to my mind, the reason, larger reason, is that all the funds in the category have basically focused on one of the 3-4 strategy buckets that are possible in this space, right? So you can do futures, stock futures based long short. You can do relative value, you know, volatility arbitrage kind of stuff, special situations kind of stuff, kind of strategies. And then you can do index option strategies, and then you can do index future strategies. So these large 4 buckets, I would say, most of the players have been in one of these 4 buckets. So what happens is that, you know, one particular strategy will obviously not always be very consistent. Neither can it be very scalable and very liquid. So what we are trying to do slightly differently is be present across all these strategies for one product, and therefore have more liquidity, scalability, and more consistency.
Okay. All right. So basically, I would say that, you know, as we move ahead, as the awareness spreads, you know, as more Correct. Number of HNIs, ultra HNIs, or maybe the family offices get to know about this, obviously they would tend to sort of replace this maybe with their debt exposure, because you don't have indexation benefits anymore now. A and B, obviously, you know, some amount of maybe the large sum of invested in arbitrage fund can be diversified. I'm not saying that the money would move here and there, but obviously investors would change
diversification perfectly. So diversification is the only free lunch, right? And that non-correlation, as I said, makes you much more efficient on the efficient frontier. So some reallocations from debt plus arbitrage, you know, all of that obviously makes a lot of sense.
Right, I understand. So great, Rishi. It was great reading your mind. We got to learn a lot about long short today. And I'm sure more and more number of investors going to take this advantage of investing in this fund and, you know, take the maximum benefit out of that and enhance
sure,
their own.
Thanks. It was great being here. And thanks to you for organizing a wonderful session and wonderful event. Thank you.
Thank you, Rishi. Yeah.